I do know I'm on mute. So just to verify, is Dr. Bittman unable to attend this morning?
He will not be attending. So you will be chairing the board today.
All right. No problem whatsoever. We often do this stuff on the fly from this, but that's okay. So let's jump in here. All right. So good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Board for Private Postsecondary Education to order at 10 a.m. on January 25th, 2024. If we could quickly do roll call.
Dr. Mittman is absent. Mr. Romano?
Here.
Mr. Romano? Dr. Leck?
Here.
Dr. Leck is here. Mr. Wallace?
Here.
Mr. Wallace is here. Mr. Ball?
Here.
Mr. Ball is here. Ms. Kelly?
Here.
Ms. Kelly is here. And Dr. Butte?
Here.
Dr. Butte is here. For staff, I'm Kevin Lamont, Executive Director. Mr. Keith Blanchard?
Present.
Ms. Jacqueline Rome?
Present.
Ms. Noelle Vetter?
Present.
And Assistant Attorney General Deborah Abney?
Present.
All right, Mr. Romano, everyone's accounted for.
Just a couple notes. The board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda, except for matters set for a specific time. The formal hearings and formal interviews are scheduled to be heard during specific time blocks. The board chairperson, however, can reserve the right to call cases in random order. However, are there any changes to the agenda as put out recently?
Mr. Romano and board members, there is no changes.
Very good. And the board may, upon a majority vote of quorum of the members, they may go into executive session on any items listed on the agenda to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3 from that standpoint. So with that, we can move to any declaration of conflicts of interest according to ARS 38503. Do any of the board members have any conflicts of interest to declare at this time? Okay, hearing none, we are good to keep going. Look at us just cruising through our agenda this morning. All right, so we will move on to item number four, which is review, discussion, and possible action on approval of board meeting minutes. So I would look for a motion to accept our most recent board meeting from October 26th.
I move that we accept the October 26th board meeting. This is Scott Wallace.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace.
Do I have a second? We'll take the second from Dr. Leck. She's always quick to the trigger there. So, all right. Any discussion, board? Hearing none. Mr. Lamont, would you take call? Roll call?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. By the vote of six ayes, no nays, that passes.
Very good. All right, we will move on to item number five, which is review and discussion of the executive director's report. Mr. Lamountain.
Great, thank you. Mr. Romano, members of the board, apologize for the lateness of my report getting into your folder. I just didn't get into it until yesterday. The information contained in there just basically is reviewing where we are to budget, the first part of that. I don't know if you have any questions. We're for our operations budget. We're right at $18,000 in positive under expenses. So we're certainly headed in the right direction this year, as we have been in the past as well. So the second piece to that, which is our ending balance, which we believe is going to be somewhere around $400,000. A lot of that has to do with the change in licensing fees that we did a couple of years ago through a bill through the legislature. because we don't have additional appropriation ability through our budget in FY24, and we'll talk about FY25 here in a minute, we are looking, and I've mentioned this in the past, to take about $100,000 and transfer that from this account, from our operations account, into our non-appropriated account, which would be the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. I've addressed that a little bit further on down in the Executive Director Report notes. And then we will talk about that in a moment. Under the Student Tuition Recovery Fund, we are currently at $638,000 in that fund, which is well above the $500,000 minimum. We are over now, over half of a year through the fiscal year. So again, we believe that we'll be above the $500,000. So for budgeting purposes, as it stands today, for institutions, it does not appear that a Student Tuition Recovery Fund invoice will go out in July or August of this year, so we won't be needing it for the FY25 budget cycle. So I think that's a welcome relief to a number of schools that don't have to figure out what, you know, where to budget for that for their FY25. A list of the school list of closures that we've had year to date. Some of these are just location closures, like the Park Universities are just actual locations. There's still a Park University in Arizona, but they have decided to move away from the locations that they had at the two of the Air Force bases. One of them is on here. One of them we just closed out yesterday. Moving forward, you see the dashboard for current schools. We're at 226. So that's down from 234 at our last meeting. However, when you look at the number of total new schools that we have in the pipeline, it is the largest number of new schools that we've had in years. So that's exciting, and it's also going to be busy. As you can see, this particular January meeting is relatively short agenda. Our February meeting is going to be a long one because we've got quite a few brand new schools that will be coming in for initial application. Where we currently have initials, we have 13 that are pending We have 15 that we're reviewing. So of those 15, we're hoping to get at least half of them on the next agenda in February. You can see the transcript request that we have in there, been very active with that process of getting transcripts out. Schools and teach out, the Aspen University, which is going to be presenting here in a few moments, will explain what that teach out for their pre-licensure nursing program looks like. So there has been an update on that, and I'll let them explain that as we get to their part of the presentation. You see the DOE actions. Obviously, there's been a couple of things that are notable with Grand Canyon, and I've provided that information to you in your board folder for you to review. The next is a legislative update. So our sunset review, which is SB 1039, we did receive in December a 10-year recommendation and a 7-0 vote. We then went to the Senate Education Committee in early January, and we received a 7-0 vote to move that forward. So today it goes to Committee of the Whole in the Senate. It is anticipated that an amendment will be made to that bill to reduce the 10-year to an 8-year. That is based on some of the things that are happening at the legislature, that it appears that there is a focus on not wanting to grant boards and commissions a 10-year window, but 8 years. That could potentially be even less than that, depending upon what other type of amendments that may be out there. There are some leaders in the in both the House and the Senate that would prefer to have a much shorter window of sunset review. More of that coming in the next couple of weeks. By the time we get to our February meeting, I should have some more information on that, but I'm following it on a day in and day out basis. Additionally, there are two members of our board that are to be to go through the process for Senate confirmation, and that's Ms. Kelly and Dr. Butte. We don't have a definitive date yet on when that's going to happen, and I've reached out to the governor's office, and I've reached out to the Senate, to Senator Bennett's office as well, seeing when that potential date might be, so that it doesn't come as a surprise to either of the board members. Once that's signed, once that's done, then we will certainly, Ms. Kelly and Dr. Butte will go and meet Senator Bennett and a few other folks at the on the Senate Education Committee, so that you get a chance to know them here. Last piece, which is, well, we talked about that today, the committee of the whole, I'm sorry. Oh, the budget update, we received a budget update yesterday for FY25 budget, and there is a process. So if you've been following it in the news, you see that there's certainly a deficit potential for the state budget. What that means is that they're looking for, as they refer to it, as revenue recovery. Which means that they are looking for different locations, boards, commissions, others, to look to bring some of the revenue that we have in there and bring it back into the general fund. I've received an initial list, and our board is not on there for the sweeping of the budget, which is good. But that anything could happen between now and the actual vote on the budget, which is anticipated in the next probably by June, May or June. And last piece on my report is the update of our software. It's the most frustrating thing I've ever been through in my life, and it is going. Not well, not terrible, it's just going. So we anticipate to have some more knowledge, more updates by the end of tomorrow, on whether or not we'll be able to move forward with the with that software solution in February, and more to come on that, get closer to it. So, Mr. Romano, members of the board, that's my report. Do you have any questions?
Great. Any questions from the fellow board members? Mr. Romano, I only have a couple thoughts. One, if you could, in the budget information and the expense reports, not that we need to discuss it here by any means, but if you would be kind enough to maybe dissect those buckets a little bit more, like, for example, personal costs and expenses, if you could just break those out a little bit further in the reports that you provide us and make available, so we can appreciate what's really making up some of those balances or expenses that we're experiencing from that standpoint. That was really my only note there. Obviously, the software pieces continue to persist for the team. Sorry to hear that. I know they promised the world when they showcase their products, and then reality sets in. And so you're experiencing some of that, not something that the rest of us have not experienced ourselves in our business dealings. So totally understand that piece of it. So thank you for the update on that piece, and we'll see how the budget continues to develop, and then also the potential amendment to reduce to 8 years from 10, if that does materialize from that standpoint. And then obviously for our two board members that are still outstanding in regards to getting their confirmation and having that all signed, sealed, and delivered, hopefully we can get that to move forward in the next month or two. So thank you for your update.
Thank you.
All right, with that, we'll move on to item number 6 on the agenda, which is review and discussion of the quarterly report to the board from Aspen University that you alluded to in your executive update. So do we have anyone from Aspen represented today that would like to take the lead on providing us with an update?
Yes, we do. This is Dr. Sherry St. Arnold, Mr. Romano, and thank you so much for having Aspen come before you today. With me also, I have Aspen's VP of Finance, Mr. Michael LaMontagne, and Mr. Matt LaVey, the CFO of our parent company, and they're available if board members have any questions on finances from either Aspen or our parent company, AGI. Just for the new board members, since Mr. LaMontagne mentioned it, Aspen University has about 29 programs. We have one program, the BSN, Bachelor of Science in Nursing program, that has two tracks. One of them is an online track for RNs. It's called RN2B. And the second track is for pre-licensure. We open pre-licensure to educate new nurses in the Valley and in other locations. And we did struggle with our scores initially, and we went on a consent agreement. So with that, he was alluding to what's transpired there. And I want to let all of you know that we've completed the instruction for all of our BSN pre-licensure students in Phoenix. And I'm proud to say that we ended 2023 Q4 at 88.57%. And that's 93 students out of 105 passing on the first attempt. The year ended with 266 out of 373 passing first time for a 71.31% pass rate. Remember, over a year ago, I spoke about our admission criteria that challenged our students' overall first time pass rates. But as of yesterday, out of the 793 students graduating in Phoenix, 92% have gone to pass the NCLEX exam, though not all on the first time. I say this to assure the board that we care deeply about our students and continue to work with all of them to pass and fulfill their career aspirations. As of yesterday, 701 Aspen graduates have been licensed in Arizona, and 35 have been licensed in other states. As of December 31st, 2023, we still have 37 students in the program. We have three additional locations. Nashville completes in May of 2024, Florida and Texas in September of 2024. A week ago on Friday, the Arizona Board of Nursing voted to, even though our instruction is over in Phoenix, they voted to allow the full term of the consent agreement to be reached on September 20, 2024, prior to lifting the program approval, which allows these 37 students to progress through the end of their programs. We're still waiting the chair's report from our accreditor, and we'll answer any questions they may have when we receive it. Like other schools in Arizona, we were asked to participate in a risk-based survey with the VA. All of our documents have been submitted, and we wait for their review. All files related to the file review are currently with our auditor for the FA audit determination letter. And we're awaiting our fifth reimbursement from the Department of Education under HCM2. We are still in the financial aid program review process with the U.S. Department of Education, and we'll continue to answer any questions that might arise. And lastly, we have timely submitted all of the reporting that's been required of us by all of our various regulators. And with that, I'm going to ask Michael to provide the financial update. Michael?
Great. Thanks, Dr. St. Arnold. Morning, everybody. For your review, you guys should have received financial statements for Aspen University and our parent company, AGI, and those would be year-to-date through December 31st. My comments and analysis today are going to refer to those first 8 months of the fiscal year. Revenue generated $19.2 million while producing a net income of $1.1 million and an EBITDA of $3.1 million. Cost of revenue through December 31st was 33.8% of revenue versus the prior year of 44.7%. And again, this is primarily due to the reduction in spend that we've discussed over the last few calls and to a maintenance level. And then also the reduction in full-time instructors and pre-licensure. Our gross margin was $12.7 million and 66% of revenue compared to $15.8 million and 55% of revenue in the previous year. General and administrative costs are down from the prior year. They're at $9 million through the first 8 months compared to $12.9 million last year. Our active student population ended December 31st at 5,498. And we're really proud to say that we've generated 1,428 new start enrollments year to date through to December 31st with a minimal marketing spend. As far as cash is concerned, Aspen University has generated $1.2 million in net cash provided by operating activities through December 31st. Aspen, as Sherry mentioned, we've continued to successfully manage our HCM2 process. We've received four reimbursements to date. and we are awaiting payment of the fifth submission, which is approximately $4 million. A few comments regarding our parent company that was reported in the Q2 earnings release on January 18th. For the consolidated parent company, gross margins increased by 300 basis points to 63%. The operating loss improved by 66% at $500,000 from $1.5 million loss. Q2 was the fourth consecutive quarter of positive EBITDA for the parent company organization, which is fantastic. And then AGI consolidated enrollments grew 5% year over year and 34% sequentially. That concludes my comments. If you have any questions for me, or Matt is on the line as well to answer anything for AGI.
Dr. St. Arnold, anything additional?
No.
Okay.
That's our report.
Well, first and foremost, let's acknowledge the great success of the first time pass rate increase and what that looks like and the hard work that you put forward to that. I realize, you know, a year and a half ago, very choppy waters, very difficult time, and staying the course. And it looks like between how you've been progressing, calmer waters you're in right now, which is good to see that piece of it. So that is great news. Whether good or bad, obviously, because you've been part of providing updates for the last several quarters, you are very succinct in your messaging and the delivery of those elements that are top of mind for us. So thank you for that as well, and staying agile to helping us appreciate the overall scale, scope, and how things are truly progressing moving forward. So I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
You also had mentioned that at this point you have submitted all documentation to the regulators and requests of documentation. I just wanted to confirm, looked in your materials, that you are due to deliver FA documents by the end of January. You may have already provided those. I think you denoted that you did, but I just wanted to clarify that at this point you have submitted all that. I believe the request was for an audited period of May 1st, 2022 through the April 30th, 2023 period. Is that an accurate statement?
Sherry, do you want me to respond to that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the financial aid audit, the materials were all sent, but there was a request due to the high nature of return to Title IV calculations. They extended the financial aid audit, and we had till the end of January 31st to submit all those files. They are currently sitting with our auditor, who will provide an audited statement of the expanded documents, and that should be uploaded by the end of January. That's still the goal.
Okay, so you are on pace for that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what I was looking to just confirm from that standpoint. I understand that. The depth of that and sometimes the challenges in trying to just reconfirm that piece of it. Did they provide any type of guidance on or what you would anticipate their time to review and respond back?
As far as the department, no, we don't know exactly what their response is back to us. But we do know that we do not foresee any additional. We do believe that it's an isolated incident, like we put in our action letter to them.
Okay. Yeah, I realize they don't often project that, but
no.
Given this has been ongoing and the sensitivity around it, I didn't know if they gave you any idea of feeling like they might need a few months to go through it versus you may hear back from us when you hear back from us type of.
Yeah, that's more where it's at.
Yeah. No, I understand. Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Those were really the only questions I had or follow-ups from that standpoint. I appreciate the update. Fellow board members, any other clarifying questions that you might have for the Aspen team?
No questions, but I would like to add and the compliments to the raising of your NCLEX scores. It's really great. So good for you guys.
Thank you, Dr. Leck.
All right. Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, do you have your hand up? And you are on mute.
Thank you. Mr. Romano, members of the board, I just want to thank Dr. St. Arnold and the members of Aspen for jumping on a call last week, kind of at the last minute, to work with the Board of Nursing so that we had the opportunity to effectively save 37 students in other states and allow them to continue their program through the continuation of the approval for the nursing program, which is all tied to Arizona. So Dr. St. Arnold and others, thank you very much for getting on there and making that a positive experience for those students.
Thank you, Mr. Mountain.
Great stuff. All right, well, we will move on with our agenda, but thank you again, Aspen, for the update, and look forward to hearing from you at the next quarterly update.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. All right, we will move on to item number 7 on our agenda, which is review, discussion, and possible action on the following change of ownership applications. And the first one that we have is the Tucson Dental, which I am lead on that one. Do we have anyone here representing Tucson Dental Assisting School today?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Romano and board members. I am Jessica Ford. I'm Director of Compliance. And then we also have my colleague, Mr. Tim Heyer, here.
Great. All right. I will certainly give you an opportunity to speak or present anything you'd like to. I will just quickly say this is really a continuation from our last board meeting in regards to identifying that this school had some missteps in a change of ownership, or really the initial application process in documenting appropriately some changes that had occurred there. And through a separate matter that we already identified and have worked through, they still needed to go through the process of putting that application in so that the records could appropriately reflect the ownership of the school as it has been operating actually for a number of years. So I don't necessarily want to call this the administrative paperwork side of it, but that is truly what we're dealing with in this situation. So understanding the scope and the nature of that, Ms. Ford, if you have anything additional that you would like to add color and context on for the board, understanding that we've had a chance to review the materials, please do so at this time.
I truly don't think I have much to add other than, you know, I just truly want to thank Ms. Rome, Mr. LaMountain, and Mr. Blanchard for working with us the past several months to get everything corrected and solidified and submitted. So we submitted our documentation, I believe, back in October and did several narratives and explanations of the changes. So just here to answer any questions or provide any color as needed.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Ms. Ford. You know, certainly we recognize, and for our other schools as well, right, there are nuances that schools need to follow and make sure they're staying compliant in regards to such things as change of ownership and other notifications necessary to the board itself. And it does create pause when misses like this occur in regards to the depth of leadership at the campus and administrative oversight at the campus. But having a chance to dialogue around that previously at our last meeting, and that I really don't have any questions. I've had a chance to review the documentation. It was complete and thorough, so I appreciate taking the time and diligence around that piece. If I were to note anything, and it's purely a recommendation we give to all other schools as well, just to keep it in mind, not a requirement, but you may notice on page 24 of your catalog, you do call out in regards to the student complaint policy, submitting that to the school director. We often just encourage schools to add the delegate language or a delegate to that because it just frees up or gives that school a little more space. Sometimes we have found in the past where schools will or where complaints will come in, and unfortunately the school did exercise a delegate in taking that action, but because their catalog and their complaint policy was so restrictive, it created some unnecessary confusion and concern. So we often give that recommendation. That's yours to do with what you want on that. But as lead of the executive or the complaint committee in this, I often like to try and get ahead of these things if we can. So just a question there. So I don't have any further questions. I will quickly turn it over to my fellow board members to see if they have any clarifying questions. All right, hearing none, I would like to make the motion to approve the change of ownership with the maintaining of the surety bond for the amount of $15,000 for Tucson Dental Assisting School. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, thank you, Ms. Kelly. Appreciate that. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, Ms. Romano, if you would take the vote.
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. By the vote of six ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Very good. Ms. Ford, Mr. Heyer, thank you very much for your time today and your diligence in working with our board staff and resolving this matter. You can have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
Thank you all as well. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we will move on to agenda item 8, which is review, discussion, and possible action on the following pending license applications. We do have a provisional license renewal with Sura College, and Dr. Leck, you are the lead on this.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Is someone from Sura College available to make an opening statement?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Dr. Leck and Mr. Romano and the board members. My name is Dr. Habib Rahman, and I'm the president and owner of Sura College. And with me are the interim campus director, Dr. Jamie Morley, and then we have the registrar and the finance director, Spring Zoots, and then we have the Executive Dean of Nursing, Dr. Janice Davidson, and I'd be very happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain, do you want to give any summary here?
You have all of the information that we've provided to you. So Sura College is on a provisional, which requires them to appear before the board through the process of accreditation. As part of the board report that you have, you've noticed that there has been an issue with DAC, their accreditor. I have been in contact with DAC, along with all of the individuals at the institution. So if there's any additional questions that you have on any of those conversations, feel free to ask.
Thank you, sir. All right. Well, I read through all the materials that you submitted and that Mr. LaMountain was referencing. It looks like you've decided to reboot the DAC process.
Yes.
That there's things that you need to address as far as being able to follow through the whole process. One thing I will say, I actually liked your tracker as far as how you pulled apart all their feedback and started, you know, pulling it apart to make sure that, you know, in the future the results are somewhat different. I think that was good. Can you kind of summarize that for everyone as far as what are the steps that you are taking to kind of shore up? It looks like things of assessment, things, everyone on the same page. It seems like things are changing and potentially causing conflict between what is written and what is stated during site visits. Maybe kind of give more of an in-depth summary of that for everyone.
Sure. So what happened was we had a Dean Ready application going in, and then our Dean of Nursing, she had a grandchild and she wanted to retire. So we got a new leadership who then wanted to align with the programmatic accreditation with CCNE. So they said, okay, let's do this programmatic accreditation, which happens 1 month later after DAC accreditation. So therefore, I think the whole thing veered off towards programmatic accreditation. I mean, lost sight of the basics. So now to address that, we have taken the chair's report very seriously. And thanks to Kevin and his team who guided us during the holiday season, taking the precious time out. We have taken it seriously and have gotten a interim campus director. We have the registrar, finance director, and the executive dean of nursing. And we have placed ads for permanent positions as well. And I'm being front and center and making sure that everything's moving forward. I'm committed. I have the resources and I'm passionate and we are moving forward.
Okay.
You know, Dr. Luck, to get specific, if you wanted to know, you know, you've obviously seen the spreadsheet. I think some of the main things that we've done, most importantly, we put together, you saw the finance section. The finance section was a mess when in the DEAC report. One of the first things that we did was shore up the budget. So we have a full budget now. Hiring is very important. It was very obvious that we had too few people doing too many roles. And so, you know, Dr. Rahman has committed $2.4 million. We've brought on additional people. So we have the right staff. We've corrected the catalog, the enrollment agreement, and the website or things, especially for your board, obviously, it's very important that we have correct information on the website. So that those have already been corrected. We've interviewed several people already for permanent positions. So I think having the right team in place, we've already come very far in that direction. So that's been some very positive things. In our deemed ready application, as you know, with DEAC, they have an expert look at the curriculum. And at that point, and I know from the nursing profession, from that point, the people that looked at the curriculum were very impressed. What happened in the interim when we went from that curriculum that was approved to all the errors that were seen, it was really a matter of the material that was seen and the material that was originally submitted were just not the same. It was just an issue of what they saw versus what they saw originally. The stuff that we have now truly is really good. I mean, there has been really good improvement that it does align with ASIN and does align with the nursing educator competencies. And so I think DEAC is going to be very impressed with what we have. Unfortunately, in the visit, being that we change things or they change things in the middle, you know, of the game was not a smart move on that on their behalf. And so, you know, obviously it looks the way that it does. But the curriculum is solid. I feel really comfortable about that. Obviously, Dr. Davidson can speak to that. But I feel really good about that. I feel really good about the hiring part. I mean, we've already interviewed some really high quality candidates. He has a final interview with a wonderful gentleman that has years of experience running a school. Hopefully that comes through. And solidifying the finances. I mean, there was clearly a misunderstanding about whether or not Dr. Rahman was giving a loan to the school or an investment to the school. Those issues, you know, I mean, there's never been an issue there. I mean, he's never charged a penny to a student. There's no student has paid a dollar in tuition, ever. He's scholarshiped every single one of these students. So there's no risk at all to any of these students. After the issue that happened with the DEAC visit, we did a big town hall with the students because clearly, you know, the students were interviewed, so they know we're going through the process. Mm-hmm. I did not want them to be left in the dark, so we talked to them. We explained exactly where we are, the fact that we're resubmitting. We resubmitted this week. We talked to them about this call with you today. So we're really trying to be transparent with where we are, the timeline. We believe we can be through the process in January of next year. We anticipate being able to submit the self-study in April and being fully compliant by the time we do that.
That's good. I think one of my concerns when just looking at the org chart was that central person, the provost, has like six jobs. And I have a few jobs myself, so I get it that I've been doing this for 20 years. And so I think that sounds like you guys are starting to alleviate those issues. And although I didn't personally know her at all, you know, Spring was on the board years ago when I first started doing this work. So I, that's probably good for you because she'll be able to help you steer away from things that will, you know, put you here more often than you would like to be.
That's okay. We don't mind.
Okay. There is a few things that I did notice. If your enrollment agreement is the one that is in the files, the most recent one, there are some things I don't think match. And I will just let the staff deal with that later. For example, I'll just give you an example. The cancellation refund, while your cancellation refund is 5 days, the wording that we all have in ours about does not include weekends and, you know, 3 days, whatever, isn't the exact language there. So I think there are still going to be some opportunities for you to kind of go back and clean some stuff up. But it looks like you have to anyway. So I don't think that changes anything in particular. I do have one interest, just a curiosity question. You know, I'm used to nursing programs. I'm used to the MSN Ed. What is it? It sounds like you're really passionate about it. And I'm curious why, why particularly nursing ed, you know, in, like versus advanced practice programs. I don't know. I'm just curious why you're scholarshiping students. So obviously there's a passion here.
I'm sorry you asked that question. You have to hear my answer now.
Sorry. My fault, guys.
So I'm a physician. And what happened was I trained doctors. So when I started in a residency program, I was training physicians, and then they would say, oh, we like the way you teach. Can you teach more and more and more? And I started my own board review course for internal medicine. So when I did that, I started off with 2 students and then ended up with 4,000 students currently every year. And amongst that, even nurses start showing up. Nurse practitioners start showing up, and they would say, oh, I wish we had a professor like you. And I heard it and said, okay, whatever. I used to hear that zillions of times. And then the pandemic happened, and I was seeing the nursing shortage, the crisis, and I'm also the chair of the infection control to put together protocols for the pandemic and everything else, so any infection that hits the hospital. So then when I was reviewing, and I saw the shortage of nurses, and I said, why do we have shortage of nurses? They said, if you can magically make nurses appear, then we'll do whatever you want us to do. And then the same thing happened with I was talking to my friends all across the country, and they would say the same thing, like, oh my God, we have so much shortage. Our 500-bed capacity of the hospital is now 250 because we have no nurses. That's when it hit me and said, wait a minute. I have trained almost close to 60,000 physicians in internal medicine in the past 22 years. And that's when it hit me. I said, okay, there must be something I could do as a human, that I have this talent of teaching, so I can take the teaching knowledge I have and put together a nursing program to bridge the nursing crisis. So that was the motivation. That's the philosophical underpinning of what I'm doing. I hope
so. It's interesting, though, because the only way to produce new nurses is through licensure programs, right, which MSN Ed is not.
Yes.
And so you're really teaching nurses how to teach.
Right. So basically, we're doing the nurse educator program. And to get to the nursing board, we need to have a program running, which was nurse educator.
This is where you're starting.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
That makes sense. Okay. Got it. Well, thank you for sharing. I was curious. okay. So I think that kind of runs the gamut of you guys are starting over. You're going to go back to provisional or continue in provisional. You have to shore up all your materials. You have a lot of work to do. You've added new staff. One question I have real quick. Who is the one person responsible for the DX submission? Who is that? Like in my world, that might be me for, you know, submission of my accreditor. Do you have one person who's responsible to make sure all of that is tied up?
I submit the application personally, but then we have the campus director. She has a lot of knowledge. You want to?
Yeah, so that will be me. So that I'm considered the director of compliance.
Okay.
Well, I will handle that.
Okay, that's good to know, because I think that one person will help you alleviate the issue that you've already experienced by helping people understand the freeze time between a submission, site visit, so you don't end up in this pickle again. So, okay, Thank you very much.
I served, you know, in my previous life, I served as a commissioner for ACICS for 5 years. So I'm really familiar with, and I've been a DEAC evaluator in years past. So very familiar with DEAC and their processes and very comfortable. I mean, like I said, we put together a deemed ready application on the first try last time.
Good.
It was just unfortunate that then the school mediated and decided to try to get ASIN at the same time, and we probably should not have done that.
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. Chairman Romano, that's the end of my questions. Open it up to other board members.
I just have a couple, clarity, and I really appreciate the preparation and time and the materials that you've put forward here. I was really trying to appreciate, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you have either 5 to 8 active students right now in the program. Is that
20?
Okay, thank you for that. And so when we look at the org chart, I'm assuming that the people really are full time and not part time in their roles from that standpoint. Is that accurate, or they're outside of maybe some of the adjunct faculty? Would you say the majority of these people are full time?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. And so just trying to appreciate the runway that you have to try and accomplish this mission. And I know you've been at it for a while now, and you've doubled down on your commitment. So respect and appreciate that piece of it. How much longer do you see? I realize that, you know, this upcoming January, a year from now, 12 months is another resettling point from that standpoint. But just trying to appreciate, you know, for the foreseeable future, the continued sustainment and commitment level to the school and running the operations there. How much past January would you see this going if things do not start to move in the favor of securing that that accreditation?
At least 3 years.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Okay. That was all I had, Dr. Lack. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Any other board members have any questions for Sierra College? All right, hearing and seeing none. If it's okay, Mr. Romano, I'd like to make a motion.
Very good, please.
I'll motion to approve the provisional non-accredited degree granting license application with the stipulation that the $38,576 surety bond be maintained and that you continue updates to AZPPSC staff.
I'll second that. That's Scott Wallace.
Very good, Ms. Wallace. Sir, are you open to or accepting of the surety bond?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, Mr. Lamont, would you take roll?
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. And Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. That's 6 ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
You're good. Thank you very much for your time today, Sir College. We appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you in the future, hopefully with a continued positive update of progression with the Act.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And thank you for your guidance. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. We will move on to Accelerated Pathways Career College, which is a new application. And Ms. Kelly, you are the board lead.
Thank you, Chairman Romano. So is someone on the call who will represent Accelerated Pathways Career College?
We have 4 people on board. I am the director. I also have Dr. Kim, who is the benefactor and lead of this college.
Okay, great. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Accelerated Pathways Career College initially focused and has our focus on medical assistant certification. We are hopeful that once upon licensed, we can offer certifications through the National Health Career Association. We've already created a relationship with them. They do require us to be licensed before we can move ahead. Our methodology is to be careful and to ensure that each course that we offer is going to be valuable and effective. So we've developed the medical assistant course, the medical coding course, and the medical scribe courses, and we're going to implement those with small classes. If we are successful in licensure, we'd like to start those in March so that we know that we have enough time to ensure that the curriculum is going to meet our quality goals. We understand that this is a long-term commitment, that the college is going to take time to be profitable, and that it is critical that every student that we have a good experience and be provided the quality that we expect. So we have been careful throughout the process. We have worked with the licensure committee. We have avoided advertising anything that we shouldn't. We have been in constant communication to ensure that every piece of catalog, every enrollment agreement, hopefully was within compliance. And so we're very eager and hopeful that we can be approved for licensure. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Randall. I was curious on the tutoring. Was that something that you were doing? I know you say you use it as a feeder for marketing, but have you been doing that for a while? I couldn't ascertain if you've been doing that for quite a while or not. It just seemed like it was interesting to me.
It was something that we wanted to do while we were waiting for licensure. And again, out of caution, we haven't actually done any tutoring. So it's a service that we offered, but it wasn't our focus. And any threat to the licensure meant that it literally was not something that I wanted to worry about. So we're still having it in place. We'll promote that more. In my view, it's an add-on nicety. So if we have a medical assistant who needs additional training, if we have faculty who are not full-time and would like to get some extra income, that we can offer quality services, that's the purpose of it.
Okay. All right. And then in your business plan, I think you mentioned the three programs, but I could have sworn that you were mentioning you'd start one at a time. And I'm not sure if I heard you correctly now. Are you launching all three in March or just starting with the medical assistant first?
Our goal is to have one and then the week following go with the next and then the week following with that. So I want to stagger them so that, again, if there's any issues with our first one, we catch them before the second. But I would like to launch all three of those programs in March with a staggered approach. We'd also like to offer additional programs, but we're going to make sure that those are approved before we add those to our catalog.
Okay. All right. And then the only other piece, I mean, your materials were good. I did have a question. You had mentioned Spanish in one area, but I wasn't sure how it pertained to the rest of the plan. Are you planning on bringing in Spanish-speaking candidates, or you're doing that on the tutoring side? I just was curious how that fit in the overall.
So our background with Dr. Kim is I've been working for him in HR for 3 years, and in the Phoenix area, medical assistants almost always have to be bilingual. So we're going to be reaching out to the Hispanic community because they're a primary demographic to drive these certifications. Anything else is, again, more on the tutoring side, if we wanted to offer English as a second language or those kinds of features, but they're not core to where we're growing.
Okay. All right. And then last, and this is just a little nitpicky, so forgive me, but I'm an old English teacher. So in your catalog, your first sentence has a typo. So I think you want to say today is the start, but you say three today is the start. So just a little nitty.
That will drive Jackie and Marcy nuts, so thank you for that anyway.
Okay, all right. Did anyone else have any questions? Those were my questions.
Yeah, Mr. Randall, very quickly, I'm trying to appreciate in regards to trying to launch this in March, not having a chance to really proactively market this and what that looks like. What are your anticipations in regards to a start size for the first class?
We'd like to have 20 in each class. We have all the marketing built up on the back end. So again, none of it's displayed because it would violate the spirit of the licensure.
Right.
But we want to do a massive marketing campaign. If we don't hit, if we don't have those numbers, we have the ability to push that date back. We're shooting for March because, again, we'd like to start classes as soon as possible. But if our marketing efforts don't reach those numbers, if for whatever reason we need to push it back, we'll push it back.
Okay. And from that, just so I can appreciate, is that 20 20 per program that you're looking to
accomplish? Yes.
Okay. In looking at your org chart, do you have a plan in place to help support or substantiate that, or do you feel like your existing org chart can sustain that 60 student population that you'll be growing to in a matter of 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so?
Our faculty is going to be rapidly growing upon licensure. We have several people who are, and again, that's kind of relevant to the tutoring. We have people who are committed to joining our company, but we are going to be hiring them full time upon licensure. So if everything goes well, Monday, we're going to have several teachers becoming in class, ensuring that the curriculum, every part of it's done, what exactly we're teaching, reviewing the curriculum we had just to make sure that we have an awesome program effective March. So I do expect that the org chart will be expanding rapidly upon licensure, and we'll be submitting that to you as soon as we, you know, are able to.
That were all. That was all the questions I had. Thank you. I appreciate the additional color and context.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Romano. Last question actually for you, Mr. Randall. Are you willing to maintain the $15,000 surety bond if you were to get approval?
I know that that's not a concern at all.
Okay. Well, I vote that I motion that we approve the conditional non-accredited degree program from Accelerated Pathway Career Colleges with the stipulation that $15,000 surety bond is maintained.
Second. We have a second.
Scott Wallace seconds it.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ms. Wallace. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, would you take a vote?
Mr. Romano? Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. That's 6 ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
Very good. Congratulations, Accelerated Pathways Career College. You're off to the races. I know the heavy lifting will start as early as this Monday, so congratulations on that. And we look forward to seeing you again in front of the board, but only for positive purposes of continuation with the licensure and growing to that. So have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
All right. We will now move to, yes, Mr. LaMountain.
Mr. Romano and members of the board, I just wanted to do a real quick update, kind of a real-time update. My phone's been going off. Our bill that we had talked about at the beginning of this, SB 1039, did have an amendment attached to it that went through committee of whole today that did reduce it from 10 to 8, which is 8, again, is what we were hoping for initially. So that amendment did get attached, and that did pass through the committee of whole.
Appreciate that update. Thank you very much. Given we were still live with the agenda, we were totally good for that piece of it. So thank you for that. All right, we will move to our call to public. Public interest is encouraged. Presentation should be limited to 5 minutes. Please be aware, however, that the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item not scheduled on the agenda. During the meeting, additional public comments may be requested, but is generally not accepted or allowed. So with that, we will allow you to exercise the raising of your hand. As we can see, Ms. Cardula has already taken that advantage. So we will start with her as a call to the public. And then, Mr. LaMountain, I'll turn it over to you for any additional people that may have their interest in speaking. So, Ms. Cardula?
Thank you, Mr. Romano, members of the board. I just wanted to congratulate you all in real time. I just heard that the due pass for committee of the whole to extend you for 8 years, which is fantastic. Arizona Private School Association is in full support of you. And I also wanted to just congratulate all of our schools today that got their licenses. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lawton, are there any other hands up for a call to public?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, I do not see anyone. And I'm just saying here, just to be clear, this would be a record board meeting to have it in 1 hour. You'd be the the record holder, Mr. Romano, if we can finish in the next 1 minute.
Yeah, setting the bar high for the next time around. That being said, as you've already alluded to, we will be stacked and packed for our next agenda, most likely, so that we will probably not be able to complete that in about 1 hour's time. But I do appreciate everybody's time and fellow board members in regards to this. At this point, we will adjourn the meeting at 10:59 a.m. on January 25th, 2024. Have a great rest of your week and great weekend. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.